Good morning, everyone. This morning, I wanted to encourage us about three things to take on our Christian journey. And it's three things in the Word of God that he says to take up. And I just want to read on those. The first one is in John chapter 5, verse 8. And it says, verse 7, we'll read verse 6 for connection. And when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" And the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, and he took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. And so I just wanted to encourage us with three things in the scriptures that it says take up. So here we have the first one that says, rise, take up your bed and walk. So what does this have to do with us as believers? So the Lord Jesus Christ told him to rise. And first it talks about their new life, right? He was doing something that he didn't have the power to do before. It says that nobody could have helped him. Nobody, he was lying down there. There was nobody could have helped him. The Lord gave him that lease on a new life by saying, arise. And each and every one of us, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he has told us to arise. He has given us a new life. He has brought us into something that no man could ever done. No man could save you except the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says no other name given amongst men whereby man can be saved. It's only Lord Jesus Christ can give you that strength, that power to rise up when you were helpless. And it says, take up your bed. And that's the portion I wanted to really hone on this morning. What does it mean to take up your bed? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ could have just told him, rise and walk, right? Why does he need to take up his bed? And this was always used to be something on my mind. Why does he need to take up his bed? And this is what the Lord calls each and every one of us to do. He only wants us to have a new life. He wants us to take up our bed and walk. What that means is that he wants us to be living testimonies. He wants us to be testimonies for him as we go through this scene, as we at our jobs, wherever we are, that people may see that we're different, that people may see that our lives have been changed. Everybody who saw this guy walking and with his bed, right, they knew that his life had been changed. They knew this was the same guy who was helpless before, who was laying down in that bed for 38 years. And they knew when they saw him that it was a difference in his life. And that's what the Lord wants us, each and every one of us to do. They want us to, when people see us, they say, wow, I want what he has. But not only the Lord gave him power for a new life to rise, but the Lord gave him power to take up his bed and walk. I'll tell you something, like when you're working out, and again, I'm not trying to say I'm any workout guru. You could look at me, you could tell. I'm just saying that when you, the first thing they want to do is strengthen your legs because the legs give balance. You know, the legs are also help with stability, your core and everything. So imagine you haven't been walking for 38 years and you now picking up a bed and walking. It's impossible to do unless you have that strength, right? And the Lord Jesus Christ gave him that strength to walk that life. And that's the thing is that the Lord wants us to live a life that is pleasing to pleasing to him, but also a life that when others see us, that they can see, wow, this person's life has been changed. But it's not living it through our own power, but it's living through his power. He gives us the power to live that life. He wants us to take up our bed, and he wants us to walk. Walking is, and the word here translates walking is a forward movement, right? A Christian life is a forward movement. You're not supposed to be stagnant, right? You're not supposed to be in the same place that you were a year ago or 2 years ago, right? The only people, and I don't mean this as a knock on anybody, but we as Christians, we need to grow. We need to go forward in our Christian pathway. You know what I'm saying? You don't see a baby, you know, who's, you know, 20 years old with a bottle, right? You know what I'm saying? You know, you see them, they're moving, they're walking, they're doing different things, they're intellectual conversations, right? You know what I'm saying? We shouldn't be like that. We should be a forward walk in our Christian walk. And also, another part of the walk is walking worthy of our calling. And we're talking about that in Ephesians, in our Bible study. Walk worthy of our calling. That means, you know, The Lord has called us into something beautiful, right? You know, are we walking worthy of that calling? Are we walking in the good of that? That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to rise in our new life. He wants us to take up our bed, you know, show the world that we're living a new life. But he also wants us to walk forward movement. And it says, immediately the man was made well and took up his bed and walked. And that's the next thing, obedience. Like, it's good to hear the words of the Lord. It's good to read them. It's good to go to conferences. It's good to go to camps. It's good to go to all these things. Look, sitting on the word of God, I want everyone to do that. But it means nothing if you're not obedient to what he's saying. The man could have said, well, this guy's telling me to take my bed and this guy crazy. You know what I'm saying? It says immediately. That means that it was no question. And that's what we shouldn't do. We shouldn't question. We should go in full faith and not question when the word of God is put before us, when we hear his voice, when we hear his calling, what he's telling us to do. It says that immediately the man was made well and took up his bed and walked. He was obedient to what the Lord wanted him to do. And so that's the first take up. Take up our bed and walk. The next one is in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. And it says here, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. This is another take up we need for our Christian life, to take up his cross. And I like how he starts it off. He says, if anyone desires to come after me, that should be our desire as Christians. Our desire should be always have the Lord Jesus Christ as our target. It says, if anyone desires, he's not forcing us. He's not compelling us to do it. He's saying it should be our desire. When we think about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, when we think about how he loves us, how he died on the cross, how he rose again, what he's continued to do for us in our everyday life, it should be our only desire to come after him. And that's what he says. He starts off with, if anyone desires to come after me, do we desire to come after the Lord? And he says, let him deny himself. What does deny himself mean? So deny himself doesn't mean that you're self-controlled. I'm not going to eat this certain thing or I'm not going to do this certain thing. It means to self-surrender, to give the Lord your full control over your life. We as human beings, we like to be in control. No matter how we hate to admit it, no matter how you want to slice it, we want to be in control. We like to know what's happening, but that's the only way. The only place that doesn't work is with the Christian life. The Christian life is giving the Lord total control. So when it says let him deny himself, us denying ourselves, it means giving the Lord total control over our lives. Self-denial, it means our self-interest. Everything that we want, we would focus on, we want to sacrifice that. We would sacrifice that. And again, that's not a normal thing in this world. The normal thing in this world is to have the goals, the ambitions, all these different things. And look, I'm not saying these things are not good. You know, you want to have a goal to do your career or have your job or a thing. But when they start to shadow the Lord Jesus Christ, that's when I believe you're not denying yourself, right? To deny yourself means to put him first, to give him first control. And it says, before you take up your cross, you have to deny yourself. It says, then deny himself and take up his cross. And the take up his cross, it says daily. It's not something that's done like one time and say, well, you know, I took up my cross, so now I'm good. It's something that has to be done daily. It has to be reminded daily. And what does take up his cross mean? Well, in this world, the Lord is rejected. In this world, nobody, you could go tell somebody the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to basically tell you, you know, forget about that stuff, right? They're going to act like you're crazy. You know, the world rejects the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's for us to stand in that and, you know, to even in despite of being rejected, we're supposed to live for him. We're supposed to take up his cross. We're supposed to live a life. And to me, what this means to me is that the cross was a symbol of rejection. It was a symbol of shame. But also for us as Christians, it's a symbol of love. It's a symbol of testimony of the Lord's love for us. And that's why we're supposed to stand in the world today, right? When the world sees us, right, they should see us even in this, despite of this rejection, despite of this shame, us living in a life of love. It's a love that that even though someone may spit on you or may disregard you because you love the Lord, is that you show love towards them. You show love towards them despite of anything. And that's how you take up your cross and follow him, is that this is not something that's easy to do. It's something that the Lord is calling us to do, that is encouraging us to do, but it's something that first starts with self-denial. Why it starts with self-denial? Because it takes humility to do this. In Philippians chapter 2, it talks about the mindset that Lord Jesus Christ had when he went to the cross. He humbled himself even to the death of the cross. It takes a true humility to do this. Because you know what? As human beings, we like control, right? As we talked about before, we like to have our ambition, but we also like to be liked. We like to be liked. We like other people to like us, right? And this may be a form where no, people are not going to like you. People are not going to like what you say. But we stand with the Lord in his rejection. When he stood in rejection, he stood in love. He was a testimony to this world, right? Men could not deny it. They said, never a man spoke like this man. They said, what manner of man is this? Everything that he did, even though he stood in rejection, they gave him no place to lay his head. They give him no place in this world. They said that the words that came in his mouth, the gracious words that came out of his mouth, they looked upon him, even at Lazarus' grave, and they said, oh, how he loved him. The Lord Jesus Christ, I believe every time he looked at others, they could see the love that he had in his eyes. They could see that he loved them, even though they were rejected. And that's how I believe Peter, when he went out, that said he wept bitterly when he saw the Lord, when he looked upon the Lord. Because I believe that he saw the love in the Lord's eyes towards him. And when he saw that, he said, how can this person love me after all I've done? I denied him, I betrayed him, I did all these things. How can he love me? But I believe the Lord Jesus Christ went through this world in this world of rejection, and all he did was love others. And that's what we're called to do. How can we be a testimony? How can we take our cross? It's by showing love to others, even though they may not deserve it. Even though, you know, they may laugh at us, but we're supposed to share the gospel with others. And I like the word daily, because it's a daily reminder to do it. We as human beings, we're forgetful. That's another thing that we are. And that's why we remember the Lord every Sunday, because we could forget, right, what the Lord has done for us. So he wants us to do it daily. It's a daily reminder to know that, you know what? I am going to stand for the Lord every day. I'm going to deny myself every day. I'm going to come after him with all my desire every day. And that's what he wants us to do. But then he also doesn't leave us without an example. The last thing he says in this verse, he says, and follow me. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only person in this world we should follow. Let me put it this way, because I know people are going to be absolute. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that, you know, they're not biblical examples, or they're spiritual examples that we know that we shouldn't follow. You know what I'm saying? But I'm saying that the only person who should be our full object should be the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody else will fail you one day. We're human beings. You're going to see a side of somebody you may not like. We're human beings. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the only person who can say with all absolute that you can follow him. You know what I'm saying? You follow him, he'll show you how to live this Christian life. He'll show you how you can take up your cross daily, because he's done it. And not only that, he gives us the power in which to do it. He lives inside of us. He's the one who gives us the power to live this Christian life. So my encouragement to us, as we read before, that take up our bed, but also take up our cross. That's another part of it. And then the last one is in, I believe it's in Ephesians chapter 6. Yeah, verse 16. And it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. I'll stop there. You know. And this is taking up the shield of faith. So, above all. He starts off this verse with above all. What does above all mean? It means this is the most important thing. It means that, you know, if you're not going to remember anything, remember this. Take up the shield of faith, which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. What is a shield? A shield is something in battle where you put up, right? And to block all the enemy's attacks. And this is important, because I believe that the world The enemy is always trying to tell us things about ourselves that are not true. They're always trying to tell us things about ourselves that are not true. What do I mean? You've done this bad thing. The Lord doesn't accept you. You know, nobody loves you. You know what I'm saying? You know what? If people knew who you really were or thing, then you know what? Nobody would respect you. You know what I'm saying? You know, you're this, you're that. The enemy throws so much darts at you. But it's a shield of faith. The faith, what does shield of faith mean? This means that you're trusting in what the Lord has said about you in the scriptures. It's believing that you are loved. The Lord says he loves you. It's believing that he said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. You're not alone. It's believing all these things. And this is the faith that we have to have, that God's word is true. Because if you do not believe God's word, the Bible says you'll be tossed and to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You'll be tossed to and fro by this world, because the world continues to give you ideas about yourself. And we have to keep on guarding our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And this is how you guard it, by the shield of faith. And it says that you shall be able to quench not some of the fiery darts, but all the fiery darts of the wicked one. If you want to live a victorious Christian life, you have to get in the word of God. But not only get in the word of God, you have to believe it. Believe it in your heart that this is true. Everything that God says, that he's coming back for us, that he loves us, that no matter what I do or no matter what I say, his blood covers all my sins, past, present, and future. And I want to encourage us with this, because the enemy is seeking to defeat so many Christians because of the narrative that's out there, right? It could be the narrative that you see on TV, that you know what, you're missing out on something, right? You know what I'm saying? You know, you see people that they're living promiscuous lives. They see people that are doing underhand things to gain wealth. You know what I'm saying? There's so many things that the world is telling you, this is the way, it's get rich quick schemes, or you listen to all these or see all these different podcasts and people talking about, oh, you know, they did this, and you start to, well, you know, how are these guys profiting from these things and they're living these type of life, and the world is continuing to bombard your mind with these things. But we have to, above all, the most important thing, it says taking the shield of faith, which you be to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. To quench. What does it mean to quench? To quench means to extinguish. So imagine a fiery dart. To quench it, it would be to extinguish it. And that's what the taking up the shield of faith does. It takes up that shield. It takes up that shield and puts it in front of us, right? And it guards our hearts and our minds in the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing what he's saying about us. I want to tell you, you're loved. I want to tell you that no matter what you do, the Lord Jesus Christ loves you. He said that even if you do wrong, he said he's willing and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want to tell you that the world and all the things of this world are passing away. They're not lasting. It's a mirage, right? You know what I'm saying? It's that the world wants you to believe that these things are going to last. They don't last. The cars that we drive, they're going to be in a landfill in 20 years. You know what I'm saying? You know, the houses that we hold dear, somebody else might live in them in the next 40, 50 years, right? You know what I'm saying? The jobs that we think that maybe we feel that we identify with, if we die tomorrow, you know what? They'll have a new job description up for somebody else. All of the things of this world are not lasting. Only what's done for Christ will last. And I want us to get our minds in that and to take up the shield of faith, to lay hold on the word of God. To don't fall prey to the things of this world. It's the same old tricks painted in a different way. It's the same way in Adam and Eve when the enemy came to them. It's just different painting or different tactics. But it's the same tactic, but just a different formula, as I said. And I want to encourage us that we should take up these things. If we want to live victorious Christian lives, if we want to live lives that are pleasing to the Lord, take up your bed. Show the world that we are different. Show the world that the Lord has changed our lives. Take up your cross. You know what I'm saying? It shows the world that even despite of rejection and despite of how they treat us, that we're going to show love towards them. You know what I'm saying? That's 1 Corinthians 13. That, you know, even if we talk with the voice of angels and all these things, if we don't have love, it's tinkling cymbal and sounding brass. That we should show love to the world, that the love, that the same love the Lord Jesus Christ has, that we should show forth to them. by taking up our cross and standing with him in rejection. And then if we want to live victorious Christian lives on our Christian pathway, we should take up the shield of faith, the word of God, that we should believe every bit of it. You know what I'm saying? Not some of it, but every bit of it. And I believe if we do these things, you'll see how your Christian life will change. You'll see how you can live a victorious Christian life. But it starts with obedience. It starts with believing God's word, as we looked at in Luke, is that he says to, if you desire. And this is the prayer I have for myself, and I think all of us should pray that prayer. Lord, give me the desire to follow you. Give me the desire to hunger for your word. Give me the desire to live my life pleasing to you. Because it's not natural to have these desires. Our natural desire, as I said, is control. It's to be liked. That's our natural desire as human beings. But I pray for spiritual desire, that we live lives that are pleasing to him. And I believe if we do this, you'll see how our Christian lives will change and we'll be victorious for him. For his name's sake, amen.